A glance at speculative thinking, or a thought for Oumuamua. My favorite example of speculative thought is when Seth Shostak, in his lighthearted way, explains, and I paraphrase, "When building the first radio, it is difficult to hold that soldering iron when all you have is tentacles." But speculative thought comes with some rules. It must stand as conjecture only, preferably a light-hearted one, unless you have some hard evidence. And if you have something big that is worth sharing, it must be reviewed by well-educated peers, and the outcomes of your experiments or observations must be reliably reproducible. The 1989 cold fusion announcement by Martin Fleischmann and Stanley Pons demonstrates the importance of peer review and reliable reproducibility. I do not think that speculative thinking could ever possibly end badly, but for completion's sake, I want to show you a scene from A Beautiful Mind where a young lady runs in the park without startling any of the pigeons. I repeat, the pigeons did not see her. I never watched the movie, but I find this scene to be particularly powerful. In my coffee shop days, where I met strange creatures, I have come across three especially alarming events. All dealt with unrestricted, unrestrained belief. In the first event, a young lady paid a rather large amount of money for a psychic reading. When I asked her not to do that, she replied that she appreciated to hear what she wanted to hear. Sometime after that, a boy of maybe 20 years old spoke about sugar fairies stealing sugar in his house. His mother was presumably into New Age stuff and thought it cute to convince the boy of their existence. In his uneducation and apparently isolation, and of course his mother's appreciation for probably Cottingley fairies, more than 100-year-old prank by Elsie and Francis, he became kind of scary and somewhat unhinged. It wasn't cute or funny at all when he said it. And I recall what was a scary event. A middle-aged man listening to static on the radio, stating something to the like of, "I can hear them." If he wasn't seriously ill, then he was just hearing other radio stations or any kind of broadcast. It certainly wasn't them. I want to mention ufology here. It is not really a science. It is more like a precursor to religion, maybe. If there is enough people willing to pay, then a cult will emerge from it. But I do want to underline that ufology is great for understanding how religious cults form. It is not a religion yet, but it is the match to getting one started. Now, Jill Tarter of the SETI Institute once stated, and again I paraphrase, twisting her statement completely, that if we don't pick up a signal in the next 3 years, she said 2025, I believe, then we need to improve our search. Those are not her exact words, but her gut feeling here is precious. 2025. She's a serious scientist and a precious and wonderful earthling. Carl Sagan, who now famously based the character of Ellie on Jill Tarter in his book Contact, stated in another book, The Demon Haunted World, that believing in UFOs is sad, because the real science is far more colorful and fascinating. Now, having said that, speculative thinking is a form of art, and it allows us to ask some seriously incredible questions. And often they result in more art, great poetry and little stories, and sometimes even books and real inventions. For example, we can ask, if Oumuamua was in fact a starship, what would be on it? Dust, I would venture. But if you are writing a book or a short story, you could ask, what kind of a crew would it carry? And here I think the answer could be machine-like. A neural network that learns to recognize patterns common to all civilizations and then deliver a message. A radio signal is far more efficient than a starship, though. A starship, or an installation on an already swiftly moving asteroid, would carry some kind of technology, something that is not possible to transmit over a radio. Perhaps advanced biology, a way to interface with biological entities throughout the universe, heal, transform, permanently extend life, and perhaps even extend an invitation. Do you see how many short little stories are contained in just this one little paragraph? It is a fountainhead of colorful ideas simply rooted in simple speculative thinking. To be ever so slightly less speculative, the little things are the ones that are most likely. I would say that Oumuamua is simply an asteroid, but someday, perhaps with the SETI Institute mounting an enormous dish on the dark side of the moon, away from leaky microwave ovens and the like, there will be a signal, a pattern that can only be made by a thinking mind. And then the world would come together to build an antenna large enough to try to capture something that presents absolute and undeniable proof of very distant, technologically advanced beings. With a radio signal, and how stupidly slow the speed of light really is, it will just be a one-way message, likely from a civilization that has long moved on far beyond that technology, or possibly, sadly, faded away even. In the end, the noisy message will just say that we are not alone. To me, it's not just a matter of waste of space, but very odd that life should just emerge once, where all the chemicals necessary for it are everywhere. I will leave you with this thought. Mars and Earth sent rocks back and forth for billions of years due to asteroid impact ejecta. Now, think about the rocks that missed Mars, and the fact that all the chemicals that make a human are already spread throughout the universe. Right at this moment, there are countless proteins, chemicals, and water molecules all mingling together in countless experiments throughout the universe. It is not a waste of space. And for those of you unsatisfied or disenchanted with my thoughts on Oumuamua, maybe it is a monument to all the civilizations that have come and gone, one propelled between solar systems that are likely to host life like a frisbee. Its primary objective is not to deliver a message, but to ask for one. A thick and very large metal structure with a Rosetta Stone that is sure to survive forever and ever. So that should our civilization ever fade, our greatest thoughts will still travel along with it. If I had to make a suggestion, I'd vote for Gnati Savton. It is Greek for know thyself.